Blog Talk Radio.
Oh yeah. Oh yeah. Oh yeah. Welcome to NAAEA Community Conversations. Oh, you got a beautiful one on tap today. Sit back and listen. We're going to answer the calls of freedom. We're going to be talking to Brother Samaj today. We're going to learn a little bit about some things that you need to know. Keys to freedom. Keys to happiness. Tormento versus liberation. We're going to get started. Stay with me. Oh, come on. There is no better love than for self and kind. No better love than for self and kind. Welcome to NAAEA Community Conversations. It's your main man, Marvin Rome, kicking it to you live again. All you have to do is sit back and listen. But let's talk about the NAAEA first. Again, we want to welcome you, though, to another show, right? It's another day, and we're grateful for just being alive, for just being alive. And so let's get started. NAAEA, it's about the National African American Empowerment Association, and that association is born to do one thing, and that's empower African Americans. That's it. Simple as that. African Americans, descendants of slaves, and then anybody else who wants to take on the philosophy. And here is how we do the work. One is politics. You have to have, again, and I'll say this every show, if you go back and listen in archives, a political agenda, right? That's our right as a human being on this planet, God-given right, to have agendas that support our needs, one. Two, an economic agenda. Everybody needs resources in order to operate as human beings on this planet. So here's what God did for us, for you guys who are believers in God at any level, right? Even atheists. The creator, the universe, gave us all apples, oranges, nuts, fruits, vegetables, you name it. They come from the earth. Seeds that are free, right? You had to pay for them. Squirrels don't have to pay for getting nuts. Birds don't have to pay for getting worms. It's their God-given right so they can survive. If you don't have an agenda to help you survive, to just eat, to have shelter, then something is amiss. You got to have an economic agenda. Three, athletics, health, wellness, fitness, and nutrition. You got to have a nutritional program. You hear me? Where you take care of your body, that you eat right. It's health, wellness, fitness, and nutrition. That's what it is. You have to be able to say, I have to have a mental program, a mental agenda, right? That really talks about what it is that you need to do to take care of yourself mentally, physically, emotionally, and spiritually, and then pass that on to your children. Circulate that in your family. Well, wellness, mental health, and wellness is a part of your agenda. Next, you have to have relevant cultural programs that teach you how to function as a human being in any society. Right? So what we're talking about, the NAAEA, is agendas that human beings have had for thousands of years. All of this is all the same. You have to have an agenda that looks at how culture dictates how we behave, how we treat each other as human beings. If you have a culture in which you have a negative outlook on how people are treated, then you can best believe what your society will look like. Lastly, education. It's a comprehensive educational program that looks at establishing an educational platform that you can begin to develop yourself, right? And the education is just not going to school. It's a comprehensive education of finding out, one, who you are. How do you learn who you are as a person, as an individual, as a brother, as a mother, as a sister, as a friend? How do you do that? How do you do it? So here at the NAAEA, we responsibly talk about those things, right? We talk about how you're going to develop yourself, how you're going to develop your children, and how can you develop these platforms that work for you in your life, right? That you become a responsible human being, right? That you have values and morals, and that those morals and values lead you to a consistent lifestyle of taking care of yourself and your brother or your sister, right? So that's the teachings. That's the practice. Now we're going to get into the NAAEA Community Conversations with Brother Samaj. Brother Samaj, are you there?
Man, I am here, brother. I'm here.
Welcome to the show. All right. You know, sir, you and I have conversations all the time.
Right?
And so I said, let me call this brother and see if we can get him on the line so we can talk about the answering the call to freedom, right? And answering that call to freedom, because we were talking. And we'll start with the download of tormentors and liberators, right? What do you believe the impact is in this country and in this lifestyle in our communities on tormentors and liberators, specifically when it comes to African-Americans?
Okay. That's a great question, Brother Rome. So to first start off, we got to think about what a tormentor is, right? Right. So when we first just think about this, and we don't even have to go to Webster's, we know what it feels like to be tormented, right? You know what that feels like. It feels like something, it feels like you're being suffocated, right? It feels like somebody is causing you pain, right? We normally think about this in the sense of like torture, something physical, but tormenting somebody can be you can spiritually torment people too. You can emotionally torment people too, and that's what causes that damage. But to get more into specifically your question, you asked about how that impacts us in this country, right? What was your question again, Brother Ron?
Yeah, how does tormentors and liberators, that founding principles, how are the tormentors and liberators playing themselves out in the African-American community?
Oh, it's easy. Number one, the first thing is this, is that we all, everything that we are in this life and everything that we accomplish, we do or we don't do. I'm going to take my time with it, Rip.
Take your time, brother.
What I'm saying, everything that we do, we already are. The only thing that we really desire to do in our life, we desire to do things out of one or two options. Number one is if we see it, we want to repeat it, right? That's one way that we do things.
Mm-hmm.
The second way is that you feel something within your intuition, your heart, your soul, your gut, or God tells you to be something, to do something, right?
Mm-hmm.
So to answer your question specifically, how do tormentors play a role and liberators play a role in this thing? It's tormentors, right? They don't allow a person to be what they feel. Tormentors tell you what you can't be. Tormentors. And these people don't got to be like people that you don't know. These people are people that you probably talk to every day. They're probably the biggest tormentors of your life, right? And who knows, for whatever reason, that may or may not be. It could be jealousy. It could be insecurity. It could be, you know, lack of their own self-confidence. It could be lack of your own self-confidence to do what it is that you feel. You know what I'm saying? Without the approval of others. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
So essentially what we got going on is, you know, somebody, you know, wants to do something, right? So say, for instance, I was I was leaving the mall a few days ago. I was with a few buddies of mine. And, you know, I waved high. I've seen his, I talk to everybody, right? I do it everywhere I go. Don't matter if you're the McDonald's lady. Don't matter if you're the janitor. Don't matter if you're the CEO. I talk to everybody, just who I am. And
that's
so,
who Samaj is.
That's who Samaj is. That's what I do. I talk to people. And that's just one of the things I do. And so I said hello to a little Hispanic family that was over there beside me when I got out of the car. Then I saw this other lady. Unbeknownst to me, I don't know what – I think that she was transgender. And so I said hello to the lady. And, you know, my buddy, when we get out the car, he starts making fun of me after we walk past her. And he's like, oh, my God, I can't believe you spoke to a transgender person. And at first I felt bad, like, man, maybe that wasn't masculine to not speak to somebody who's transgender. And then I thought to myself, I said, transgender people, regardless of what you may think about who they are as people, whatever, they're sexual, whatever, right? Because some people don't even understand what that stuff really means. His thought was that you can't speak to them as though that's a monster. But then I thought about it, I said, man, that's a person. Damn their sex. Damn their racial identity. Damn all of that. That's a human being. With
got
thought,
that right.
With feelings, with emotion that exists every day in this world. I don't know what that person does. They could be good or evil. I don't know. But they exist and they feel the same way that I feel, the way that he feels, the way that his son feels, the way that his daughter feels, his nieces, nephews, uncle, she feels the same way. So why is that person not good enough to say something to? Not good enough to say hi to? And I thought to myself, I said, and then he made fun of me several times throughout the rest of the day. And I said, well, I thought to myself, I said, damn, is this brother insecure about that transgender lady jumping on him? Insecure that he might like it if she jumped on him. And then I thought to myself at a deeper level than that, I thought, he's tormenting me for being myself, for talking to somebody. He was doing this. He did this in jest, bro. He did it in jest, and he thought it was funny. But he tormented me. He made me feel bad for being who I was or who I am, somebody that talks to people. You
right.
know what I'm saying? And so what I'm trying to get to is this, bro. Is that we have to be mindful to sometimes just shut up and be quiet, because we don't know how the things that we say are going to impact other people. And we're very immature as a culture. We're very, very immature as a culture with not recognizing that words, they say sticks and stones don't break my bones, but words will never hurt me. That was a lie that they told us in elementary school so that they could build some sense of resilience and toughness. But honestly, most of the scars that people are carrying around is from other people's words, not being punched in the face.
You got that right. Words do hurt.
Yep. So that's what we're talking about with the whole idea of somebody being a tormentor. And then you have then you have other people that are liberators, bro, that want to liberate people's souls. That's what I would like to call myself, but I also recognize that in my own space that I've been a tormentor to many people just as much as I've been a liberator. It's the balance of how life works. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And so... So, yeah, I hope that – does that answer your question, Rip?
Yeah, you got that. So let's piggyback on that, the responsibility of being quiet and the reward of silence. Can you talk about that for a minute?
I was talking to one of my best friends today. He called me and he talked for 10 minutes. And all I did was sit and listen to him. And I rewarded him. Well, we built that type of relationship, though, right? He's my cousin. What I'm saying with the reward of silence is that sometimes people don't need your damn advice. Sometimes people don't need your opinion. They just mm-hmm. want your ear. So, like, because you don't know what you're going to say, whether it's going to be liberating or it's going to be tormenting. You don't know. But you do know if you don't say anything and you listen, that you can at least understand what that person is trying to say to you. You know what I'm saying?
True.
Mm-hmm. And so, like, that's why, like, that's why I call it the gift of silence, right? I'm offering you, by sitting here and listening to you, Rip, like you're doing me right now, right? By sitting there and listening to somebody, you're offering them the gift, a gift of being silent and listening to understand who they are, not to respond and correct how they're talking or whatever they're saying. Because again, like we talked about, one of our fundamental rights is the freedom of expression. You know what I'm saying?
True.
So to interrupt, to not to listen, right, to somebody when they're giving you a piece of information, is to suggest that what they're saying doesn't have value. And that's the only thing that we have is our ability to express ourselves. And that happens in a myriad of ways.
Well, let's talk about that, the fundamental rights. So let's start with the founding fathers, because you mentioned that, right, and those fundamental rights and the freedom of speech.
Yeah. Yeah. So, I mean, obviously, that's the first one, right? That's the First Amendment, the freedom of speech. I mean, they call it the Establishment Clause, freedom of speech, and it keeps government outside of religion, right? Now, you think about how ingenious that was, you know, for people at that particular time, right? How ingenious and how devilish it was all at the same time, right? So we're going to enslave people, but then we're going to say people have freedom of expression. So, I mean, with that said, it just is a classic example of the human paradox, right? The tormentor versus the liberator, right? Because these people were seeking to be liberated, but also at the torment of a whole, you know, millions of other people and their generations of people after that. But the whole idea of what we're talking about of why that's important, Rip, is because our freedom of expression is all that we have, yeah? There's nothing else that we have in this lifetime. Like, everything that we do derives from a freedom of expression. The music that we choose is a freedom of an expression of what I'm interested in. The career that we choose is a choice that we have to express our desire to be or to act in a specific field. And even within that field, it gets more nuanced. You know, the religion that we choose is our choice of expression of how we see God in our lives. You know what I'm saying? The car that we choose, right? If you got enough money to go buy your own car, maybe you do, maybe you don't. But what the things that you choose, right, are a reflection of you expressing yourself. That's why that right is so important. It's important. That's the only thing that we have when we come in here is the right to choose and that choice, the choices that we make to express ourselves are the most valuable things that we have as human beings, man.
Wow.
Freedom of choice.
So you talked about the human paradox, right? And one of the things that you mentioned was the world is not a safe place. And you talked about ignorance over enlightenment. Being
that's
that we
Donald
have
Trump became the president.
Right.
We got a high school mentality. We got a high school mentality, Rip. We choose to we don't whew, man, this is a hoot of a question. Go ahead, ask me that one more time, bro.
Are we ready to acknowledge the human paradox? That is, this world is not a safe place because we have freedom of expression, right? We have that right, and it creates ignorance, right? And I think you mentioned something like half of the people that are these people that are tormentors, and the other half of that half follows the tormentors. Right.
Yep.
And so with the with the liberators being the enlightened ones, there's a battle for the mind of man that we're dealing with here.
Yeah. That's exactly what we're in. We're in the battle for the mind, for the soul of, like Joe Biden said, I think that thing had resonated, but he was right. In the battle for the soul of a nation. Ignorance runs rampant throughout our country. Right? It's because we have a herd mentality. You gotta, if you, you gotta be a jock, you know, especially in our community, right? We're just getting to a point of where we're starting to value art. Imagine this, Rip. You're the one in your mom's room at 12 years old, or your daddy. Let's just use your dad, because I know what your daddy would have told you at 12. He would have said, imagine you going in his room, and he'd tell you, and you tell him, oh, Dad, I want to be a painter when I grow up. He'd have been like, son, you need to grow up and get a real job. That was the first thing he would have said, right?
Yep.
What does that tell you? That something that you feel inside yourself that you like isn't real. It's not good enough.
Right.
We're dealing with a bunch of people walking around in this country that do that same thing. But that's why I like those young kids, those millennials, and that those Gen Zers. You know what? Because what they're saying to us is fuck that. Freedom over everything. If this is supposed to be the land of the free and the home of the brave, why? If we want people to be fucking free, Rip, if we want people to be free, Rip, we got to allow people to be who they are. The geniuses that come out of this country that are all around in the world, they couldn't be that if they couldn't be who they were. We wouldn't have created all of the wonderful things in the world if people couldn't be and believe in who they are as human beings, dog. So it's almost like you got to liberate yourself from groupthink from the beginning. But then you got to have people along the way that will affirm what you believe in about yourself. That's why you got to stay away from tormentors. Because they won't affirm what you believe in yourself. They'll only tell you that you can't do it.
Right.
They'll only
That's
tell
so
you
true.
The reasons as to why. You know, some people call them haters. I don't call them haters. That's not strong. That's not a strong enough term. You know, to hate just simply means that they might just be jealous. But when we say tormentors, nah, bro, you are causing this spirit of freedom and desire that I have to do, right? You're telling me that I should not do it. You're tormenting my soul when I cannot act on what I feel to be my freedom of expression.
Wow.
You're enslaving my soul when you do that. That's what you're doing. And that's why you got so many people walking around this joint mad, pissed off, upset, because they so feel something that they can't act on because they've been told that it wasn't a good idea their whole life by their parents, probably, especially growing up in our community. Because guess what? You know, as black people, we're some of the most conservative, judgmental people in the world. Conservative, judgmental, Bible-thumping people in the entire world, right? God said, be still, for I am. I am. I am. Well, why don't we, as black people, allow people to be?
Well, I think we have to look at that conditioning, right? So when you go back to the slave master and the slave mentality, right, that tormenting started there for many of us, right? So we have tormentors at every level in our community, our friends, our parents, our family members. Even now, there are family members tormenting each other right now as we speak.
And right now, some people don't want to go home for the holidays, bro, because they don't want to be around the people that say they love them. How about that? Some people dread going places for Christmas. You want to know why? Because they're going to get picked on by their old drunk uncle who never accomplished anything in his damn life, or is, you know, so insecure in his own self that he can't allow you to be who the hell you are. Man, Rip, we ain't got to keep going there, bro. But you know what I'm talking about.
Right. But our people need to acknowledge it.
We do. We need to shut up and listen to other people instead of talking for them to listen to us. You know what I'm saying? if somebody is expressing something within themselves. So if you listen to this before you go on your holiday break, or if you see your family over coronavirus, I mean, obviously people might be doing virtual stuff and they might not be around each other, but the people that are going to be around each other, you know, and they're going to sit back and they're going to drink their yak and they're going to do whatever they're doing and celebrate the holiday, ask your younger cousin or ask that niece and nephew what they want to be. You know what I'm saying? Ask them how they're doing. You know what I'm saying? Don't ask them how they're doing in school. Who gives a damn? The school lying to them kids most of the time anyway.
Whoa.
You ask a kid how he's doing in history class, his white teacher ain't told him nothing about slavery. They're telling him that slavery, that black people wanted to be enslaved. So what does it matter how well he's doing in school? In that school.
True.
I mean, I'm just saying.
I'm just saying.
Ask them how they doing. Ask them what they want to be. Give them, encourage them. You know, if they believe they want to be a painter, buy them a canvas. You know, when you see a kid or a person that you love talking about something that they want, affirm it for them. Affirm them. Affirm what they believe. People need affirmation, you know, because affirmation leads to acting, which gives somebody confirmation. And confirmation then leads to confidence. And when you act in confidence about something that you believe about yourself, you become a superhero.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
That's what happens, Rick. Affirm. We got to spend time affirming. But you can't affirm with your own prejudice. You got to get rid of your own prejudice when you leave. When you're talking to somebody sometimes, you got to get rid of your own prejudice. Because that person don't need your prejudice. They need your ears. They need the gift of your silence, bro. That's what we said, right? We said gift of silence. Give them the gift of your silence. And then give them another gift of affirmation and watch how they begin to fly. Don't give them your own prejudicial doubts. You know? Don't give them your insecurities because of what somebody said to you. You have the opportunity to give them something that you might not have had. But give it to them because it's important, man. And our kids need it more than anything. Our kids need us to believe in them. Our kids need us to believe in them and affirm them, but also give them opportunities to show their genius. That's what our kids need. They don't need somebody telling them what can't be done. They just need to be told what's the best strategy in order to do it.
That's how you become a liberator. That's how people become liberated. And so imagine if our kids were liberated. Don't do this. Stop. You know, we're in the park a lot, man. We see the difference between the parents and the white kids and black kids. And, again, I think it's our culture because white kids have a little bit more freedom, man. They get to explore more. And our kids are, like, on leashes. Don't do this. Don't do this. Don't try it. You're going too far. Well, the white kids just get a chance to explore. And, again, I think it may be cultural, but, again, I think we have to support our kids. We want to protect them. And we want to love them, but let's teach them how to be themselves, how the gifts that they were born with. Let that flourish and come out in them.
This little light of mine, I'm going to let it shine. I can't let my little light shine if I can't never be. And what did he say? He said, I am, correct? Be still, for I am. I am. I am. Ellipsis means it continues to be. That's all of that is inside of us, man. Like
that's
said,
right.
We got to give our kids freedom. We got to let our kids run around the store. Let them run around. Let them be curious. Let's treat them with curiosity. Let's be curious about who they are. Let them be curious about the things that are going on in their spirit, in their life. You know what I'm saying? Because when we let them be curious, guess what? They can learn. You can't learn if you ain't curious. Our kids can't learn because we don't allow them to be curious, bro. Now,
and so we have
always context and reason, though.
We have tormentors that douse that spirit. Man, I can tell you so many times that there have been people that I have seen and acknowledged in my life that have doused the life out of people, doused their spirit, doused their creativity. right?
Yep.
And they're not, it's not their intention. It's almost like handed down to them to douse and abuse and mistreat and misuse mentally, physically, emotionally, and spiritually. That's why many of our people are traumatized. They're stunted and blunted because of the treatment in our community.
Yep. We want to be free, but still treating each other like slaves.
Hello. All right, so let's talk about the keys to happiness, right? Content versus being happy and the desire that we have that we need to step
away
from.
Man, I tell you, man, like I told you earlier today when we were talking, I said I didn't know what being happy was. I didn't know what it felt like to be happy until I was going 45 miles an hour. Maybe I was going faster. Let's just say 60 to make the story better. 60 miles an hour over open water on a jet ski with water and wind hitting my face. And at that particular moment, you know what I felt? I didn't have a desire in the world. There was nothing that I desired anymore. I had no desire. I was free of it. I ridded myself of desire. And you know what happened? I was happy. There was nothing else I needed. There was nothing else that I wanted. There was nothing else that could have done anything to make anything better in my life at that moment. And I realized it was because of I was free of desire. It was gone. But let me tell you the important start point of that is that something in my spirit told me, go get on a damn jet ski. And I went, and I said, all right, let's go get on the jet ski. So I went and got on the jet ski. And when I did it, and I felt that, I realized two things. Number one, you have to affirm what you believe in your spirit of the things that you know are going to heal you and make you feel good, right? And then also what I learned with what happiness was, man. I learned that just to be and to be free of desire is a place of happiness. But that's
Come
not
on,
how
brother.
We are structured here in America. We're not structured here because we're capitalists. We got to hustle in order to live. We eat what we kill, you know. That's our culture. Eat, eat what you kill. Hunter-gatherer, you know. That's what we do in our country. And so because we have a hunter-gatherer mentality, we can't find peace and happiness because we have to keep killing in order to eat.
We got to keep killing
in order to eat. So we can't never just be. We can't never be absent of desire because we always worried about the next bill. We're always worried about the next job, the next opportunity, the next internship. Always worried. We're full of worry and desire. That's why we sick and we die the way we do. Because we always worried and desired and working. Worrying about the next bill, desiring the next opportunity, and working to rid ourselves of both of those things. That's what we're doing, bro. That's what we're doing.
What's the solution?
But you can have
What's
happiness.
The solution? Come on.
I don't think it's a one-off solution because mine was getting on a jet ski, and I don't think everybody want to do that. But what I do think the solution is to act on those things within your spirit that you feel will make you happy. You know what they are. You know what they are. And that's why you got to be mindful of your tormentors because your tormentors might say, we don't need to get on jet skis today. You know? Sometimes you got to go and do stuff with people that's going to let you be. You know what I'm saying? Not people whose agendas you got to be on. You know? So a sense of that comes from having a desire to be independent, you know? Because your happiness is not, it can't be contingent upon anybody else. It's not conditional, you know?
True.
You can't place conditions on it. And so what I'm trying to get to is that you have to follow your heart, and then you have to
put
yourself in a position to act independently on the things that you feel in your heart. You can't be on somebody else's time doing what somebody else wants you to do and find the happiness that you're looking for. You can't, it's not going to work like that. The happiness that you're looking for comes based on a soul affirmation of acting on your own belief. I don't think it comes from acting on somebody else. That's my personal opinion.
True. So sometimes we confuse happiness with just being content.
Yeah, I agree. I'm not sure if the two can't be interchangeable. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
I'm not sure if they can. I think that sense of being content may. I'm not sure. I never thought about that, Rip. So I don't want to speak on something I never really thought about.
Well, I'll give you an example then. You got somebody that's full of gifts. They're full of talent. They're full of ability, but they won't move on it because that tormentor etched in their mind that they can't do it. You can't be successful in this world. You can't go out here and do this. Stop. Don't do that. Don't do that. It's going to be hard. This is the world of limitations, from your religious point of view to your spiritual point of view to your physical point of view. You can't do that. Right? And then we go back into cycling again, because as soon as we step out there, we get afraid and go right back into being in the place we were in the beginning, right back to that same mindset, that tormented state that we've been placed in by our community members, by our loved ones, by our country, and by the system that we live in. You got to be able to sidestep this stuff, right? For true happiness, it's finding out your calling and your purpose for being here on this earth, and that is being able to follow your heart, like you said, and be able to understand who you are and where you're supposed to be in your journey in life. And some of us are just locked in to that false reality, and they're miserable.
Yep.
I'm not saying go and sell your house and be irresponsible. I'm not saying that.
No.
I'm saying live.
Live.
Thrive.
Live. Yep. There's only one way to do that, and that's to act within what you feel in your heart. Steve Jobs said that in his Stanford speech. And Steve Jobs, you know why a lot of these guys that dropped out of college and did all this different stuff and, you know, these amazing success stories that we love, you know, the underdog and all that stuff. You want to know what the main thing that they felt? Well, they did. They acted on what they believed, man. That's all they did. That's honestly the difference between, you know, the leaders and the followers. Leaders act on what they believe. Followers are afraid to act on what they believe.
True.
Said, your heart already knows what you want to become. He said it in his speech. And I believe that. I hope that'll, to me, my experience, it affirmed what he said. You know, is that your heart already knows, man. You came here with everything that you are. You came here with it. You know, it's just like playing a video game, like Call of Duty or something. You get a certain tactic, you know, to start off with. You know, you can download and customize your package to make it look however you want your package to look. God did that for us, bro.
That's right.
He gave us a custom gift package. I learned that from the Book of Rome. Book of Rome, chapter 54.
All right.
He gave us everything. He said, I am. And if he is within us, then we are.
That's right.
Simply put, we are. You are enough. You are enough as you are. Just act on the things that he has told you that you are. It's simple. Amen.
Amen. So examine the tormentors in your life. You don't have to fight with them, but you also have to examine yourself to see how you torment others. Right? In the simple words that you say, why you got that on? Why you wearing that? Why you talking like that? Why you doing that? Right? And like you said, and I'm piggybacking because it's so beautiful, honoring your friends and your family members and your loved ones with the gift of silence. This brother said, it's your responsibility to just be quiet. That's love.
That's what love is.
Man, you hit me hard with that one, brother.
And show responsibility. That's the only responsibility that you have to your friends. Your friends don't need your guidance. The only thing that they need is you to guide them to who they are.
Mm.
Let me stop preaching right there, bro.
Guide Come on, preach, brother.
Who they are. Affirm them to be. That's what we need in our culture in America, man. We need more affirmations for people to be who they are. Not externally what they looking at trying to become because of what they saw, but be who they are. That's what we need more of. That's how we liberate others, by being who we are and them feeling a sense that they need to be who they are and acting with on that. All of this wisdom is out there, man. It just hit me this last weekend. But the thing is, though, Rip, like we were talking about, the thing that we were talking about, Rip, is why we got to learn that at 50. Why my mama had to toil and stroll for 60 years of her life to never and not to be tormented and not to enjoy her life and the things that she worked for, only to just to perish, you know? Why? Why ain't we telling our kids to live, to be who they are? That's what we need in my education system. You know how many these kids could learn how to be happy with being who they are? They could learn geometry. But how the hell am I going to learn geometry when I'm hungry and don't know how to be happy with who I am?
True.
We are in a battle for the soul of our nation. We are. Those words that Joe Biden spoke were deeper than what he even imagined. And it starts with our education system, man. Starts 100% there. It starts 100% with our education system and the way that we are training our kids. We're not even training them to go be successful in the workforce, man. That's what we are doing. We're training them to not be innovative. Well, certain segments of the population are being trained to go be leaders in the workforce in the world.
Right.
But others are just being trained to go work at McDonald's. We need more McDonald's workers. All you Negroes can't have college education. What the hell? That ain't how this thing supposed to work. There's too many educated people then. How are we going to... How is a system that was created off the back of free labor going to morph itself into a system that is primarily comprised of educated, working-class people where you have to pay them in honorable wage? That's not how this thing is designed to work, man. So it breaks the system when you start having all these Black folks, Latinos, you know, all these other ethnicities becoming educated and learning and demanding more money and advocating for their people and advocating for the causes that they believe in. It breaks the system. But guess what? The wheel got to be broken at some point in order for everybody in this country to be liberated. For America to uphold its own values, it has to break itself. Just like we have to break ourselves if we want to grow in our own life. This country is going to have to break. It's going to fracture itself, but then it can grow from there.
That's deep. You know, Harriet Tubman wanted to be free, and she found a way to be free, but there was somebody trying to torment her by continuing slavery in her life. Right?
Yep.
So we see tormentors at every level. And we see liberators. I'm saying tonight, become a liberator in your life and in your
become
family.
Be a liberator.
And in your
man.
Community.
Yep. Be a liberator, man. That don't mean take on everybody's problems either.
That's right.
That's not what that means. Being a liberator don't mean taking on everybody's problems. It don't mean being somebody's savior. Don't nobody need you to save them. They just want to be affirmed. People don't want to be saved. They want to be affirmed because people know that they have the capacity to do. People know that they have the capacity to do. We all know that. We was given that. And everybody got that in their gift package. All they need is affirmation. We got to encourage each other to be affirmers.
I like that, brother. just plant a seed in somebody of affirmation, a seed of love or a seed of gratitude or a seed of disrespect. We see much disrespect, right? Even in your relationship with your partner, your mate, or your friends, give them the respect that they deserve.
Yep.
As your friend. As your child.
Yep. As your child. Children
and
need
we
to
just
be
take
respected,
so much
man.
Away
That's
from each other.
The
Absolutely.
Fact that children need to be respected. Children need to be respected. They need to probably be more. They, I ain't going to say more, but they need to be respected just as adults do. Because
exactly.
at that point in time, the things that you can do to a child can really break them. An adult might be able to let that thing roll off his back, but a child going to hold on to that thing. That's why we got 40-year-olds acting like children now.
Hello. Hello.
Something was broken in them at 12 that ain't been fixed yet. Let me stop talking, man.
Yeah, who trying to talk about that?
They don't want
to
talk about that.
Who trying to ask people to look at themselves and start fixing on that? So the work needs to be done, right? We talked about the reward of silence, man. Right, that's so powerful. Affirming, right? Your family and friends, particularly in a stressful time like this, right? People are dying from a deadly virus. But while they're living, can you affirm the people that you say you love with some kind words? Just checking in, hey, how you doing today? How you feeling? Because it's not all about you. It is to a degree, right? And so the problem is not understanding the law of problem ownership, right? So we're going to break it down tonight. The law of problem ownership is if you own it, it's yours. Decide whether the problem is yours or not. If it's somebody else's, let them solve their problem, but you can't create a problem by trying to solve another one.
Not you create a problem.
You got that
on,
right.
Riff, I'm listening.
You got
I'm
that
listening.
Right. No, I feel you. But what we do is we continue to create manifest problems in our loved ones' lives by stepping in.
Yep. Mothers do it all the time for their boys.
But that's love, though.
You create more problems by stepping in. I agree with that.
All right. What gives one of us the right to tell a person what they should wear, the kind of shoes they should put on, anything? Right. I will tell you a quick story. My oldest son, when he was in high school, we had dreads, right? And then we cut them off, and he saved his. And then he put the dreads back in his head and went to school. This was before sew-ins ever happened. Man, those kids tormented him. They ripped the dreads out of his head, man, and that impacted him, right? But his creativity was in. He sold them back in before sew-ins was even around, before you could create dreads that way. He was already
he
in front.
Dollar.
That was his gift. Exactly.
He had a billion-dollar idea, and they told him that
and
his idea wasn't
him.
Good enough. And they took it
right.
from him. They took his
right.
spirit from him. Took his
exactly.
ability, his conviction, his ability
right.
to believe. They took it from him. Damn, that's sad. How many of us live
that's
with something that somebody took from us?
Right. And that was tormented. And they took, ripped it out of his hair and threw him all over the place, all over the hallway and everything. He was only being himself. He was acting in his genuine spirit that God planted down in him to be creative. And they quenched it. They drenched it. Those are the kind of people that we live around. So examine yourself. You can kill a person's spirit with your words. Like the brother said, sticks and stone may break my bones, but words do hurt. They harm, they kill, they create disease.
You're absolutely right. You're absolutely right. I'll tell you a story, man.
All right.
I believe that I tormented my ex-girlfriend, I wanted her to be things because I was insecure in my own existence. Can I say that one more time? I needed her to be things because of my own insecurity. Did you hear what I just said?
I heard you, brother.
Did you? No, you got to hear me, man. Because these people are doing this to people. They are tormenting people because of their own insecurities, bro.
Mm-hmm.
We can't keep treating each other like this as humans, man. We can't.
True.
We got to stop that behavior, Rip. You ripping down billion-dollar industries because you tormenting the kid who came up with so-and-so before them things even existed. Think about if they would have affirmed that, you know, and been like, oh, that's a lie. Even if it may not have, maybe it was the prototype. It wasn't a real thing yet. But 10 years from now, 10 years from that point, if he had kept doing that kind of stuff, he would have been selling that stuff all across the world right now. What they doing? All they doing is buying so-ands now.
Right. Absolutely. So let's dig a little deeper in it. Go ahead.
Let me ask you this, Rip. How we stop being tormentors, Rip? How we get people to stop being tormentors? How do we get them to understand that, you know, that words do hurt? You know, how do we get people to heal their own insecurities before they enter into relationships? Because that's what we like to do too. We like to abuse people because we was abused. Well, that's what happens. We don't like to do it. We abuse people because of the abuse that we suffer. We don't do it intentionally either. We do it unbeknownst
right.
to us because they're not teaching us to be emotionally educated. Rip.
Mm-hmm.
How are we better at emotionally educating our kids? You know. You understand what I'm saying? Do you understand my question?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I think you got to start with yourself, right? And I think you know hurt people hurt people. And we hurt each other in relationships all the time, whether it's business relationships or personal relationships. So the foundation is love. We have to understand what love is. I think we operate from a foundation of hurt and hate. So we don't operate from a position of love initially because we're in defense mode, because we come in at a deficit, right? So the healing got to take place at level. First, it starts with you on the inside, healing, like you said, your own insecurities. This is how you be free. This is how you be happy. Right? You have to find happiness within yourself. You have to do a self-examination. Right? Like you go to the doctor and get a physical, you got to go to yourself and do a mental. Right? Sometimes the best diagnosis is self-diagnosis because we all know what we need. We just need to be honest with ourselves.
Yes. Yeah.
You operate from the principle of love and find out what love is. Right? Define that first. And then from that, like you talked about, understanding, right? Understanding the people that are around you, right? And but you got to understand yourself first. And then couple that with a commitment to yourself and loving another person, right? Genuine love, brotherly love, right? Even if you got a partner in a relationship, you ain't really loving them because you don't even know what love is. Because you operate from a deficit. You operating from a mode of hurt and pain and discomfort, dis-ease. Because most of us live in a dis-ease state, whether it's anxiety, right? You got a lot of professionals who are suffering from anxiety.
And
it's true. You got that right. How do we be happy? We have to find our authentic place and stop trying to run on this treadmill. When we find out who we are, and then we start finding these principles that you talked about, like how freedom hits you, and understanding the responsibility of just shutting the hell up sometimes.
Because
sometimes we could just be insulting. Right?
Yeah.
And again, and unintentionally, You can insult people.
Yep.
So you have to choose your words wisely, people. Mm. And sometimes just being quiet is everything.
Mm-hmm. Sometimes you don't gotta choose words. You can just choose silence.
There you go. Sometimes you don't have to choose your fundamental right of expression.
Mm-hmm.
And see, that's why Donald Trump is so popular, right? Because he's good at dissing people. And people really like that. They're entertained by a leader who is dissing people.
Yeah.
And we're comfortable with that in this country. Mm-hmm. Like, yeah, did you hear what he said? Right.
Mm-hmm.
Exactly.
Well, that's why we watch reality TV.
Right.
That's why we don't spend time in the woods and in nature. You know?
Right.
Nature. We don't spend time in the woods and nature. We don't spend time doing things in water, you know? Like,
mm-hmm.
I thought to myself, man, I said, yo, what got me, I thought about this, man. I said, what got me to believe that being in the club, taking shots, drinking, hollering at girls was happiness?
Mm.
Made me believe that I was happy when I was doing that? Because the next day I always woke up and I was miserable. You know what I'm saying?
Mm.
So the price of a good time was, you know, spending a lot of money in a moment and being miserable the next day. You know, and ultimately to have sex. You know, that's what the whole point of it is, right? Is to try to find somebody to hook up with or to pop the most bottles in the club with your homeboys to stunt. But, like, when is that? Who taught us as a culture that that's being happy, right?
Right.
Why they sold us that dream that's what happiness is? Only to get for the people that sold us that dream, right? They sold it to us. Guess what we did? We bought it. Right?
Mm-hmm.
We went to the store, we went to the club, we bought it, only to get to the point of being 50 or 60 and them admitting that, hey, none of that stuff really made me happy.
That's conditioning.
Only to get to 50 to realize that they were selling us a product, bro, and we were trying to buy it because we wanted to be like them.
Yeah.
And realizing that they were unhappy in the process. And we aspire to be like unhappy people. How about that, Rip?
So we have to examine our conditionings, right? So I think to get back to your point, right, we got about 2 minutes left. So I'm going to give you the closing words after this, right? This is what we have to get back to. Being human. Going outside. Letting the sun shine on your skin. Putting your feet in the grass. Not trying to conquer people, not trying to conquer women all the time and conquering each other, conquering men, women, but it's being human. And when we find that we can be human, then we could be human beings again, having an earthly experience, spirit in a body. I'm going to turn it over to you, brother. You really enjoyed this conversation. I'm going to give you the last closing statements, and then we'll get out of here. I really appreciate this. This is NAAEA Community Conversations with Brother Samaj. You got it, brother.
Mm-hmm.
Take it away.
Hey, man, my closing words are very simple, man. It's all within you. I learned that from the Book of Rome, chapter 53. It's in you. Everything that we have, everything that we're supposed to be, the happiness that we seek, the success that we seek, we all came here with it. And it's not external, it's internal. And an internal force is abundantly, abundantly stronger than external forces, external pursuits. So going into this holiday, if you get a chance to listen to this before Christmas or before New Year's, realize that, like, you know, affirm. Not realize, but affirm your nieces and nephews. Affirm your little cousin. Affirm your grandmother. Affirm your mother. Affirm the spirit of their own belief in themselves. Affirm. That's the word. Affirm. Affirm. Affirm.
Well said, brother. Well said. Thank you, Brother Samaj. You've been listening to NAAEA Community Conversation with Brother Samaj. Go back and listen to this one. Share it with your family and friends. I appreciate you, brother. This is how we get down. So, until next time. I will talk to you guys. Go back in archives and listen to this one again. It's NAAEA. Peace.
To bear with unbearable sorrow, to
run away
where the brave dare not go, to right the unrightable wrong, to
love
pure and chaste from afar, to try when your arms are too weary, to reach the unreachable star. This is my quest. The right without question or pause, to be willing to march into hell for a heavenly cause. And I know if I'll only be true to this glorious quest, that my heart when I'm laid to my rest.
Jesus, one day, you'll